Hello, I'm Philip Owens, Associate Professor at Purdue University. And I want to give an update on the Universal Soil Classification System. This is an International Union of Soil Science Working Group, and John Hempel is the chair. Luca Montanarella from the European Union Director of Soils is the co-chair, and there's about 15 members of the working group. And we're going to refocus on classification because if you look at the two dominant systems of the U.S. soil taxonomy and world reference base, if you try to illustrate maps of cold regions, cold soils that are important, I think because they're more fragile, they're more potential for impact from global climate change. If you try to show politicians or any other users, they're much different maps. And I think we need to get together as a group to get some consistent message that we can deliver to people who are making decisions. It's also a good way to communicate. So from our from this talk, we'll talk about why to refocus on classification, why the working group, and I'll illustrate some of the numerical approaches that we're using, and then talk about some of the conclusions. So we really need to develop and categorize our knowledge. We're humans, so we like to speak in words more than numbers, and then we need these names to be able to communicate common language across the globe. So we're also concerned that very few people besides pedologists communicate through taxonomy, and we're hoping we can develop a system that other soil scientists at least could use, maybe even biologists and other scientists in other fields. So if something a little more simplified potentially could be used. And we certainly need to harmonize the global digital soil maps, and we need to be able to communicate properties and classification. Always like to quote Guy Smith. He says, classification should be dynamic. We should use the state of the knowledge and use for the uses that were intended for where we are at a time, and we need to be able to accommodate changes. So we have a lot of data. We certainly always need more, but we do have data and accumulated experiences. I think we can never displace expert knowledge. That's extremely important and always will be. Numbers are good, but we also need to use our knowledge. The group agreed that these diagnostic elements that we've developed over time are still important and are necessary, especially the diagnostic subsurface horizons and surface horizons. So we agreed that we need to look at the level of similarities and dissimilarities between the taxonomic systems that we have currently, and we also agreed that we need some simplification. Another Guy Smith quote, as someone can come up with something, perhaps a computer someday, and we get enough data, perhaps we can come up with relations that suggest something that no one's thought of. So that's really kind of the approach that the working group is focused on. And Alex McBradney first brought it up in 2010 when we had our first meeting at Purdue University talking about numerical systems. And I wasn't really too intrigued by it. I thought, you know, doesn't seem like it would work very well. But the longer I've worked with it, the more I agree that it's something that we need to explore and potentially look at. And I'll show you some examples. One is just evaluation and testing of some of the current definitions and diagnostic horizons. And then we'll look at some taxonomic relationships using Euclidean distances from the databases. So primarily, we are looking at using large databases, looking within the U.S. soil taxonomy as well as how it compares to world reference base. We also threw in some of the Russian data, some Hungarian data, and some in the Brazilian system, but I'll show mostly just U.S. soil taxonomy today. And the work is really based on some work that McBradney had done looking at taxonomic distances between the world reference base. And so the methods for the paper, or for what we're doing, is in this paper in Geoderma. So we have some data from the National Cooperative Soil Survey from their database. We had about 39,000 profiles. Got 3,000 profiles from the ISRIC-WISE data set. In total, we're looking at about 42,000 profiles, and we added some from Hungary, 1,200, and 680 from Russia as well into this this work. So here's a map of the profiles, and you can see we're heavily skewed towards the United States, as you, I told you, with the 42,000 profiles. So I think it's a little bit, we need a lot more data from the tropical areas and other areas around the world. But here's the, it shows a bar graph on the bottom. The number of profiles is on the y-axis, and then the soil orders that were represented are on the x-axis, and you can see gelisols are low, oxisols are low, andisols are low, a lot of mollisols and alphasols. So the properties, for this numerical approach, you have to look at, we're looking at just the properties, and so these are the properties, a list of what we're using, of course fragments, clay, silt, sand, color, so we converted the colors that's in the descriptions to RGB, presence or absence of redox features, so that's just a yes or no, ice, yes or no, and you can read the rest of them. But the idea is try to look at the similarities and dissimilarities between these particular properties. And so within each profile, we took depth intervals from the data. And so they're not necessarily by horizon, but by depth. And so the upper part was, we used 5 centimeter layers to a depth of about 50 centimeters, and then 10 centimeter layers to a depth of 110, and then larger layers, 20 centimeter layers to a depth of 150. So from that, we created centroids of each particular grade group within soil taxonomy, and based on the those 22 properties that we listed and these 18 depth intervals. But we did this based on a conceptual approach and then a purely numerical approach, and we'll look at some of the examples here. But what we what you get from these Euclidean distances, it sort of shows you where the data is grouping or where the centroids are grouping. So you can see, visually see how close they are, and you can also numerically see how close or how far particular soils are from each other. And as I said, it's a simple Euclidean distances based on this conceptual coded properties or centroid values that were calculated. So when we set up the table, and we're comparing, we're looking at diagnostic properties. So if we have an argillic horizon in an inceptisol or an intisol or inceptisol, we'd say no, it's not likely or cannot be present. Or if we're talking about alphasols, then it would be a 1 because it must be present to be an alphasol. So that's kind of how we coded for this particular project on the conceptual approach. So we looked at 32 different properties with dominant identifiers and 45 soil groups. So here's a table of what kind of data you get, which is pretty overwhelming. But we'll focus just on this one particular soil here just as an example. And so if you look at the on the y-axis, you can see all of the grade groups that are listed. And then across the top, you remember the not likely to occur or likely to occur. So these are assigned actual numbers to say a nature aqual is most likely has a full mollic. It definitely has the base saturation of greater than 50% in the subsurface. And so this is sort of how we numerically approached the comparisons for this conceptual approach. But then we also calculated the centroids, so we used the average values from the 22 properties. And so this gives you more different numbers. So we're looking at the nature aqual again, and you can see the numbers are showing the distance between of the nature aquals from those, or those are, oh, sorry, these are the average values for the centroid for the nature aqual. So the value of the soil is 2.5, the chrome of the soil is 1.5, the average clay is 30.8, organic carbon is 2.1, base sat 98.2, 93.8. So you can see these are the average values for the centroids of all of the natriquols that were classified that way. And then by getting these numbers, the numerical values, you can compare to see how close a natriqual is with a natrialbol. So that's the closest soil that occurred to a natriqual. The farthest soil away from the natriqual was the haloperindols. So, and obviously there's the natriqual equals the natriqual there, so they're the same. You can see in the center of the table. So this is a numerical way to see how close these soils are to each other. And then you can plot these particular soils. The blues are the natrialbols and natriquals, so they grouped in one part of this is Euclidean distance, so it's a three-dimensional distance. So we try to put the graph where you can see visually see the relationships. And there's the natriquals. And so these, the pinks and the blues that you see there are grouping on one side and away from the other soils. But what we're finding is really in general, for most of the soils, the aquic groups are grouping away from the drier, well-drained soils. We're seeing lots of like the rindals are grouping more with entosols and inceptosols. They're really not fitting taxonomically well with the mollisols. But we have so much information and data, we're still trying to condense this a little bit to get some generalities of what we're seeing. But I wanted to give some preliminary work that we've done just to show generally what the approach is. I mean, I think it's not completely agreed upon, but I think that people are wanting to be able to consistently and numerically put soils into the same classes where they would have the same properties. And dreaming 20 years down the road, maybe you could have your data, you could put it into a software, and it would give you out your specific classification, so it would be very consistent. And I think really having these databases is tremendous power, because we've really done this based on our expert knowledge of understanding these visual differences and some chemical differences in making our classes. And some of them we're finding they're not quite separated. Maybe we'll combine some groups, or maybe there's groups that really need to be split out and maintained. But it's certainly a new way of looking at classification. So the conclusion of the mollisol, first mollisol look is the shallow, wet, salt-affected soils were not close taxonomically with the other mollisols. The organic carbon in the epipedon is not really, it seems like it's causes some issues at these high levels of classification. So we're looking at what are some of the average values or centroids values for mollisols. But I think really this is it's been pretty exciting looking at classification through numerical methods, and it gives us a new way to look at classification, which we've really never had the ability to do this before. We certainly think the accumulated experiences, data, and the appropriate tools, it can give us some new opportunities to prove some of these relationships that we visually have understood over time, but we can prove it, and some we will see maybe they're not quite as different as we thought, and maybe adjust classification systems. But we think we'll still use a lot of the old names, and it's really agreed upon that we won't remake a whole new system, but use the best of the really the two available WRB and U.S. soil taxonomy to develop a system that is consistent across the globe. And we hope these efforts will support the development of better definitions of taxonomic units and feed the development of the universal soil classification system. And here is fine print. Sorry about that, but these are the task groups that are working on specific issues. And if you want to get involved, we'd absolutely love it. John Galbraith is on that working group and has been an important member, especially on the anthropic soils. And I'm sure, could use some help. I know I could. I'm on the soil climate and temperature regime group. And that's another issue, especially thinking globally. The international community has been saying that these soil climate regimes, especially the moisture regimes, are not fitting their cropping patterns as it was developed for the U.S., and they feel like it's not useful at such a high categorical level, that maybe keep it in the name, but keep it at a lower categorical level so you can put more information about the particular soil in there. So we're evaluating that and looking at different systems around the world, or soils around the world, to see how that's applying. And Mercy Ningiri will give us a talk here shortly showing some of her work in Kenya using the climate regime. So anyway, contact any of these people if you want to get involved. We'd love it. We're doing our best to try to have a new look at classification and develop something consistent. Okay.